Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Father, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your word. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Thank you so much for your welcome. And I'm very, very humbled this morning once again to stand before you. I'm not coming to you in my strength. I'm coming to you in the really my weakness, really, because as I was just sitting down, the Lord has been just reminding me the things He has done in my life. And my brothers and my sisters, the Lord has been faithful in my life. I've seen the hand of the Lord. And I know how God has been dealing with me in many issues in my life. And today I'm going just to share part of the things God has done in my life with you and to bring some hope in your life. And by the grace of God, I've been walking through a very, very heavy anointing on prophetic, where God has been revealing me things that are shocking about lives of people. And it was this year, early this year, when we were in the presence of God in our church, as you've heard your pastor say, during the presidential election, there was a violence in our country, and our church was in a place where we were attacked, and we lost everything, really, in the fire and in destruction, and I got very much discouraged. And let me tell you, if the enemy wants to destroy any giant, he uses a spirit of discouragement. There is nothing as strong as discouragement. When the devil discourages you about marriage, divorce becomes an option. When the devil discourages you about life, suicide becomes an option. I tell you, I went through a period of discouragement completely. And it was until one morning the Lord spoke to me. When I went to the church, everything had been destroyed. 36 members were killed. 6 orphans in our orphanage were killed. And we went through a tough time of discouragement. And I went to church thinking that I won't find anybody. And in that Sunday, as I was driving to the church park, I found over 2,000 people had come to worship the Lord despite of the situation. And the Lord spoke to my heart. And He said, it's not the time to give up. It is the time to move forward. And that's why I'm here today. There are people who have been praying throughout the week, and you have been asking God, God, I want to see a miracle. I want to tell you, brother, with all humility, the man standing in front of you is a miracle. It is a miracle from God. And that's why I thank God for Pastor, for the love he had for our country and for many people in the world, and mainly this church, how you have been so loving to the nations and to the mission and the work of God. And when He gave me an opportunity to come, I felt this is a divine time for me to come over here and to be able to get a chance just to share the love of God and the things that the Lord has done in my life. And this morning, God has been moving in a powerful way. And I'm sure there is something special for you. You are not in this place in an accident. It's by the plan and the will of God for you to be here this morning. So I want just to share my heart today. I'm not going to preach. I'm going to share my heart. I'm going to pour my heart into your life and believe that at the end of this meeting, we shall all come out of this place saying that surely we have seen the hand of God. But because of time also, Maybe in the next service I'll have more time to be able to minister to some of people. And if you can give yourself today to relax and to wait for this, you'll be blessed. You know, the Bible sometimes says, them that wait upon the Lord, there is an attribute of waiting. When you wait upon the Lord, He is always faithful. I want to read Psalms 22. I'm going to start my preaching, Psalms 22, and I'm just going to speak on hope, and I believe God is going to renew our hope. This morning I was sharing about God has got chances. When you lose something, He can restore. But now I want to talk of hope. Psalms 22 verse 1, it's a prayer. This is the very prayer of a broken heart. In my life, I never knew what brokenness is. This is because of how I was brought up. It was when I was 8 years old, when news came to my home that my father and my mother and my brother had died on a road accident. And so at that age of 8 years old, our uncle could not take care of us. Together with my sister and my three brothers, we were thrown on the street. My sister got married when she was 11 years old with someone who pretended to take care of her. And by the time she was about 12, she died trying to give birth. She was too small. And that time, I got discouraged. I got depressed. I was only 9 years old when everything started happening. And two of my brothers died on the streets. And we were considered as a dead people. I remember one of my brother died when he was saving me. I had stolen from someone and I was caught. And in Kenya, when you catch a thief, we have something we call mob justice. You stone that man to death. So they stoned me. I was only 12 years old. And my big brother, who was 15, came and saved me. And when I escaped, they were able to beat him to death. And he died on the spot. And I came some hours later, and everybody was walking around, and they were all saying, he's just a street boy. We were insignificant. Nobody thought we were anything important. So for me to be here today, it's a miracle from God. And I don't take it for granted. I give God all the glory every minute and every second of my life. And it was through that sad life of discouragement, I continued living. And never had proper education, never gone to school. My life got discouragement all the days. People counted us as dead people. And it was the time I was 17 years old. I hated everyone. And I wanted to commit suicide not once, not twice, many times. And let me tell you, if you've never been in a fix, if you hear someone is committing suicide, it's easy to blame them. But if you are in the same situation, you would have seen that as an option. If you are in the same spirit, you would have seen that as an option. And in my life, at the age of 17, I wanted to kill myself many times. I hated everything. I had all complaints in life. And I went to a meeting, a gospel meeting, which was being conducted by one preacher from England. He was preaching about the love of God. But I didn't go to that meeting to receive anything. I went to that meeting because that was the only way I could go and get money. Because when people are worshiping God, it's easy to get into their pockets. And I went to that meeting to steal. But you know, God had a different agenda. And remember, I've been on the street for over 9 years, never eaten good food. I had bad health. I was sniffing. I was smoking. I was drinking, I was in drugs, I was taking anything to make me crazy because the world had turned against us and we had turned against the world. And it was in this meeting I went to commit those crimes. The Lord Jesus Christ could not look the way I was smelling because for 9 months I had never washed my body. For 9 years, and Jesus came into my life. And that evening this man said, if I was the only sinner in that meeting, Jesus would still die for me. And that time I felt for the first time there was somebody who cared about my life. And so I went forward. I gave my life to Jesus. And nothing really happened from outside. I was still the same street boy. I was still smelling, but there was new life in my heart. I went back to the street, and God touched somebody who decided to take care of me. And I remember very well, it didn't take over a year. I became very ill because of smoking and drinking and drugs and everything. The doctors concluded I was going to die because I had damaged my kidneys. I had damaged my lungs. My blood was poisoned. And they knew I'm not going to live long. And so I was admitted in the hospital for 1 month, 2 months, 3 months. And I stayed in that hospital for 9 months. No medication, no nothing. Part of my body, if I can open this part of my body, you will still see some marks that I just are there for the glory of God. Because I had started to rot. There were some worms and other things coming out because I was lying on that part for many, many days, for months and months. And I was going toilet on the same bed. And they put me to the last room, the last ward, which was next to the mortuary. And every night there was a body or an accident, and they would bring the bodies at night before they take them in the mortuary. They would leave it to stay with me for that night. And for many years, I stayed with the dead bodies around me, and I had no hope completely. And even the Christian had reached a place, they were discouraged, and so they told me, "Brother, don't fear, you'll die and go to heaven." And let me tell you, for 9 months, I had message about heaven than anybody else. They told me, "Don't, you will die to go to heaven, you will go to heaven." And I got discouraged. I waited to die. But one night, the voice came when I was in the point of death. And that voice called me in the very name that only my father could call me with. He said, Micah, I'm going to heal you and use you. Now, I could not believe that because I had no education or nothing. How can, if someone say the person who is dying, he can use you and he can change your life? And I felt that was like a lie. But let me tell you, when God says something, it doesn't matter how difficult it is. He's the living God. His words are final. And when God said he was going to heal me, the following very morning, I started getting strength. I came out of my bed. They used to throw food to me like a dog. They used to come and test to see whether I'm dead every morning, and they could find my heart beating. But God just lifted me from that bed, healed me, healed my lungs, healed my kidneys. I tell you, I have brand new kidneys. I have everything brand new from heaven. And I can stand before you and tell you, there is nothing impossible with our living God. And so, when I read this particular psalm that I'm reading, Psalms 22, I can get the heart of Jesus. I can get the heart of David. Because this is the very psalm that David and even Jesus recited when he was on the cross. And the Bible says, "My God," this is Psalms 22, says, my God, why have thou forsaken me?" Now, we find there is an element of the why. There's a complaint. David was complaining. And he said, "Why are you so far from saving me? Why? So far from saving me, from the words of my groaning. Oh my God, I cry out by day, and you do not answer. By night, I am not silent." Now, this is the scripture God has given me for someone today, because God wants to bring new hope to our lives this day. God wants to lift something from our hearts. And I want you to open and to receive this word by faith, to open your inner person, because I'm standing to you as a witness of God, someone that has gone through mess, and that mess has become my message now. That destruction has become my construction. And that how I am standing on the rock that is unshakable, and that is Jesus Christ. David is doing something that each one of us would like to do many times, and that is complaining. This was the very time his sons had already rebelled against him. The whole kingdom of Israel that he served, that he was dedicated to serve, was against him. He wanted to get him out of the throne. And David was discouraged. And I want to tell you, there is nothing strong. Discouragement is strong like death. When the discouragement comes, it is the very, very spirit of death. When you get discouraged, miracle doesn't happen. And David was discouraged. I've lived in the same situation. And he was running away from his very son, his army that he trusted, the people that he had fed, the people that he had lifted in his kingdom, the people that he had encouraged in his time. They had turned against him. Let me tell you, there is nothing as evil as when people turn against you, especially the people that you have given your heart. And right now, prophetically, I see a woman right now. Right now, I see you very much. You had given your life to someone. And this man is a man you gave in a relationship. You gave the heart, your heart, and you thought all your hope was in this person. And the time you needed him most, he dropped you down. Today is the day of your healing. Today is the day of your restoration. David was so much discouraged, and he was running, and he started complaining. And he prayed that prayer in the psalm, saying, my God, my Father, why have you forsaken me? But today I want to tell you, this has been our problem for many times. God does not answer wise. That's the message I have for you. God does not answer complain. You know, I don't know here, but in our country, in the bank, we have a place, a special desk. They call it complaint counter, where you take your complaints there. But do you know you cannot cash from complaint counter? There is no cashier there. There's just another miserable person waiting to hear for your miserable complaints. And many Christians, they think God has got a complaint counter. And when every time we are, why is this? And every one of us, everyone, why is this happening to me? Why am I the one in this situation? Why am I, why? And David tried. He said, why, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And God did not answer. And David says, even at night I cry. I don't know whether you have been in a situation that the night becomes longer than the day. You cry, you turn, your bed, you went to bed to rest. The bed become a place for wrestling. You're not resting. Your heart is fighting every night. And I see that one also in the spirit. There is a man here. You don't have sleeps. You don't sleep. You have to take medicine every time in order to sleep. Your heart is disturbed. You have a spirit of depression. And today is the day of your healing in the name of Jesus. I want you, when I say this, just believe it and receive it in the name of Jesus. And David was complaining, my God, why? And if you continue reading, God did not answer him. God did not give him any answer. And the Bible says clearly, God ignored him. He was not able to answer him. David said, why have thou forsaken me? Why are you far from my cry? In the night, I'm not stopping crying. And even during the day, I'm crying. And God never answered him. Jesus, the same prayer he recited on the cross, he said, my God, why have thou forsaken me? And yet there was no answer from God saying, it is because I'm God. God does not answer complaints. And today, I can see complaints from people. Complaints about your life. Complaints about your children. Complaints about what you don't have. Complaints. And you know, when you have a spirit of complaining, you complain about everything. There are people who complain. When they have, they complain. When they don't have, they complain. When they need, they complain. And when they get, they still complain. They become complainers. They can never change. And that's what David did. And then David discovered, God is not answering my complaint no matter how much I'm trying. And in verse 3 of this very scripture, he changed. And he's using the word but. For those who know English, and I know you know English here, English is like our third language in Kenya, so we don't know much English, but I know the word but changes everything else you have done. Because if you want to know what I'm saying is true, just tell your wife, I love you, darling. You're wonderful. I can't even sleep. But, and that just walk out. And you will know, but changes everything good you've said. So but is not the right word to use sometimes. So David discovered that he has been complaining. Nothing is happening. And then he uses the word but. And he says, but. Or the other word he's using, yet. But you are different. The right scripture says, yet you are enthroned. Verse 3. It says, yet you are enthroned as the Holy One of Israel. You are enthroned as the Holy One. You are in the praises of Israel. Now, another translation says, but you are holy, enthroned in the praises of Israel. David discovered, no matter how much he complains, God does not answer. So he turns his complaints into worship. And he tells God, I know this. I know you don't want to hear my complaint now. I know you are holy. Now, the word used there as the word holy, it means you are different. You are unique. You are wonderful. You are enthroned. You are enthroned, you are crowned in the praises of Israel. And immediately David started doing that. It's when David was able right now, the same time, to write Psalms 23, which says, and the Lord now, because you are enthroned in the praises of Israel, you are my shepherd, and I shall not want. The same person who was in want, the same person was in complaint, who was crying day and night. He discovered God is not enthroned by complaints. He's enthroned by praise. Time has come, church, where the really children of God will stop complaining and start worshiping. They will stop complaining and start praising. They will stop complaining over sickness, over their situation, and start worshiping God. And when we worship God in the midst of our struggle, He will be enthroned. And let me tell you something about being enthroned. A king has no power until he's enthroned. It's only when the king is enthroned. You might have been born a king. And everybody knows you will be a king. Until the time when you are enthroned, the power of kingship is not upon your life. It's only when you are enthroned, when you have been exalted there, that's the time you become a king. And let me tell you, there's a time in our lives when God becomes a king, not just God. And when God becomes a king, He does not request things to happen. He commands things to happen. I want you to get the difference. When you enthrone God, He becomes a king. A king does not suggest. That's why the Bible says a king should not take much drink, because whatever suggestion the king does, it becomes a law. If a king points at your shop, it is his. If he points at your car, he has it. He commands. And let me tell you, time has come when God becomes a commander in our lives. And when God becomes a commander, no matter what the plan of the devil upon our lives, God starts to command things to happen. And when God came into my life as a commander, He started commanding new things that were not there. He said, let there be a new kidney, and there was a new kidney. He said, let there be new blood, and there was new blood. He said, I'm opening a door for you, and no man shall close. No man shall close. Why? Because I discovered a secret. I'm not gonna live in complaints anymore. I'm not gonna live crying anymore. I am going to surrender my life completely to Him and worship Him no matter the situation. No matter the situation, no matter the way they are. And I want to tell you this, February this year, we had a revival in our church. I'm talking of revival. You know, people think revival is falling down and laughing and going the same home miserable, the same way they came. I'm not talking of that. I'm talking of revival where the presence of God is in the church that people cannot move. The presence of God is in the church that the preacher cannot preach. The musician cannot play music because God is enthroned. Where miracles start taking place. And in that presence of God, 8 people with HIV/AIDS got healed without prayers. Healed. I mean, just nobody laid hand, nobody prophesied, nobody shouted over their life. They just received their healing. They believed it. They went to for the test and they discovered they were totally healed. The presence was there. Because we decided for 1 week we are not going to preach. We are going to enthrone God. We are going to enthrone God. And I cannot forget the February when an ambulance came to our church. In Kenya, we don't have ambulances. So if you see one, you are very lucky. So I saw an ambulance came to our church. And that ambulance was the mayor of our town. I'm in the council of Nakuru. I am also a councillor. I'm just among the people in the council that makes decisions over the city. And the mayor came with an ambulance and he had a daughter in that ambulance that was very sick. And he called me, said, "Mike, I've been told something is happening over this place and I want you to pray for the baby." I went, I saw the ambulance. I thought they had missed the road. This baby should not be brought to church, should be taken to mortuary. Because truly speaking, that baby had died. And they had brought the baby in the church. And I called some of the nurses in our church and I said, "Can you touch that boy?" Because even faith, I didn't have faith. You know, sometimes our faith can be weak. And I looked at the baby and the nurses came to me. They said, "Pastor, you have to look for some scripture to encourage the man because that baby, she's dead." And I said to the mayor, "Brother, the Lord giveth and the Lord has taken away. So praise be the name of the Lord." And I started praying for the mayor to encourage him. And the guy, the driver of the ambulance, was so discouraged because he wanted them to rush to the hospital. The mayor said, "Let us go to the church first." So he walked away in rebellion, said, "I can't drive it because I'm not allowed to carry dead body in this ambulance." So I said to him, "Give me the key, we will drive it to the mortuary. And they will have no." So I took the key. I decided I would drive the car. And there were 3 women in the church who decided to accompany us. And they were singing songs just to bring encouragement. And I was driving. And these women, they started singing songs that says, "Oh, what a mighty God we serve." And those songs were out of context because I expected them to sing songs that are talking about death or something, but they were talking about songs of life. And I was driving, and these women, they were praising God as if everything was well. And before the gates to the mortuary was open, I look back, and that girl had seated up. She was back to life. I was shocked. I was the preacher. I decided to get saved that day. I discovered all my complaint. God had turned them into praise. Because these women who did not care about death, they started worshiping God. You know, here in America, you trust in money so much. That's why you don't see miracles. Even things that you need to cast out, you look for a doctor. The things that are demons, you give them good names. They are weakness. But time has come. For when we enthrone God in this particular place, He will command things in your life in the name of Jesus. I said God will command things in the name of Jesus. God will command things in the name of Jesus. And David said, you are enthroned as the Holy One of Israel. Amen. God is enthroned as the Holy One of Israel. In my life, I have seen him enthroned as the Holy One of Israel. You can today allow yourself, repent of all the complaints in your life. I just want to pray for a few people just now. I just want to talk to your life right now. There is a man, you've been having a serious, severe pain on your waistline. In fact, you cannot even bend. And you think it's because you're old. I want to tell you, you're not old. You're too young. You're too young to die. You're too young to be affected. You've been having pain. Pain, a lot of strong pain. I can just feel it the way the Holy Spirit is leading me. And there's a woman, your backbone has a problem for a long time. You cannot do heavy work. In fact, you cannot even lift heavy things. And you think that's now your lifestyle. God is going to show you his glory because we want to enthrone here. God, stand up everybody and lift up your hands before God. Let us enthrone him by our own words. Tell him you're holy. And as we are enthroning God, very, very quickly, I want anyone who just feels he wants a new touch of God, just to run. I tell you, we have been having powerful altar calls here. People coming, running. They don't waste any minute because we have no time. Just come here and just lift up your hands and tell God, I want to enthrone you. Forgive me for all my complaints. Forgive me for all my crying. Forgive me for everything I've been doing that thinking, God, you're not worthy. But today I want to enthrone you. Enthrone God, my brother. I see a family being restored right now. I see a couple that the devil has been fighting in your house to bring discouragement. Today, I just see the real healing of God taking place. Almighty God, I thank you. Father, just lift up your hands and repeat this prayer, everybody. Say, Lord, I repent for trusting in myself. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining all my time. Forgive me, Lord, for complaining instead of enthroning you. And this morning, I open my heart to worship you, to enthrone you as the Holy One of Israel. Touch my life, God. Touch my spirit now. Touch my heart now, for you are God Almighty. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Renew my family. Now tell him anything you want on your own words now. Tell him, open your mouth, don't be afraid. Open your mouth because healing is coming. Power is coming. Touch of God is coming. God, in the name of Jesus. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you because you are enthroned. I thank you because you are enthroned. I thank you because you are enthroned. There is a restoration coming to your life. There is a mighty restoration. You are not a loser. You are not a loser anymore. You are not a loser anymore. I disconnect you from every curse over your life right now. And I speak newness. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus. The Lord is taking you in new steps of life. You have been in that place for a long time. The Lord is saying, I'm taking you, son, in a new place you have never been. And I want to speak to you. Death will not have part over your life right now in the name of Jesus. Lest I speak new life. I speak new life. New life. New life. New life. New life. New life. Oh, rabababababashata. Every cancer die. I command cancer to die. I command cancer to die. I command cancer to die. I command pain to die in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus of Nazareth. In the name of Jesus. I call back your family. 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 Yes. In the name of Jesus. They shall not die. Newness, 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 newness. Mighty restoration. Mighty restoration. No more rejection. No more rejection, says the Lord. 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 No! Yes, no, 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 no. No more. No more. You have suffered enough. Today we are putting an end to every suffering in the name of Jesus. Lift up your hand, everyone, and give God all the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Father, I thank you because of this service. I declare, Lord, as your people enthrone you in anything, every day today, their life will never be the same. I see a new prophetic anointing over somebody here. You had lost it. You are getting it back. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. We're going to have the second service will be so powerful. And as you're seated down. It's a new day, says the Lord. It is a new day. I want to command healing upon somebody's body right now. I command healing right now. I command deeper healing right now. In the name of Jesus, I command the touch of the living God. The power of the cross. The power of resurrection now. As you are enthroning God in the mighty name of Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to, before I give my brother back the microphone. As Pastor Glenn said, he wanted some people who can be a blessing to the church in Kenya. For us to rebuild the burnt walls or the burnt church. And I believe there is an anointing here. Not because of what you will get back, but just to be part of the mighty move of God that is moving. I'll request you as you're sitting down or going back to your seats, just to those who are willing to support the work of God back to build that church in Kenya. I want just to pray and bless you. I just want to bless you. So I will just do a quick offering collection. You can bring whatever God speaks to you to be part of that, because we are in the rainy season and you can be a blessing. Amen.